broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I told him, well, I'd like, you know, if I do contribute, I would like.
Don't lay down,
son.
Arthur. Don't do it. Don't do it. Resist.
My mom is just really, I'm going to be going to New York.
I found my cell phone. I called 911 to make sure that he knew I wasn't trying to.
Hey, this is Charles Barkley. I'm a dumbass. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And they will not. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhendryshow.com. And our website offers more than any single radio show website in the world. We have thousands of hours of archived classic Phil Hendry material. Material that has been bootlegged and pirated, stolen brazenly by people all over the world. And as our attorneys work to set that straight and throw people into prison, you may have it for a modest $6.95 a month. Not to mention all of the bits and all of the lines stolen by television shows and TV writers that listen to us on a nightly basis. All of it may be yours for $6.95 a month. So go over to the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. Get our live streaming video, live streaming audio, archives, news feed, comment section, email response to Phil and from Phil at philhendryshow.com. Margaret Gray is going to be joining us next here at 877-876-PHIL. An anonymous letter, and this is a very disturbing, disturbing piece of news. An anonymous letter in Bay City, Texas. Roughly half of the students of a small Texas school district were out of their classes yesterday, Tuesday, after an anonymous writer threatened to kill students unless, quote, bleeding heart liberals, end quote, crack down on discipline. School officials in Bay City, about 80 miles south of Houston, canceled outdoor activities, changed bus routes, and posted higher profile guards in the city's eight schools Tuesday. But Superintendent Keith Brown, whose family was personally threatened in the letter, this person personally threatened the superintendent of the school, said classes would continue as scheduled for the week. So this is some animal that decided to write a letter to change the agenda, the curriculum. I mean, my God, and personally threatened the teacher involved here, or the teachers involved, one of them the superintendent of the schools. And this is what they're dealing with there in Bay City, Texas. Margaret Gray is joining us from Santa Monica. Ms. Gray is a writer. She is a author of Little Bird Told Me, a weekly column. You're a mother, Margaret, and the mother of a 13-year-old boy. This has got to, and even though this individual is talking about the liberal agenda, and I know that you are a self-described liberal, this is, well, obviously this must upset you.
Well, Phil, I first of all, I want to say that as a liberal, you would think that I would be completely outraged by this, and I am very outraged. But I want to say something that may leave your audience in a little bit of shock. I do not approve of what this individual did. I do not approve. But my God, I can understand the frustration that's going on in this country, Phil.
And well, let's be clear here.
No, hold on for a minute. You really have to understand the frustration of parents all over this country. We are sick of not knowing exactly what our children are being taught. We are sick of not knowing how our children are being taught. We are sick to death of our children going off to these schools, and we don't know whether we will see our children alive at the end of the day or not. The only thing that this writer got wrong was what he called the liberal agenda. This individual, and I can assure you it was a man, it wasn't a woman.
No, that's funny, because during the pre-show I speculated.
No, yes, I did. I was watching you, and I don't know what you mean about a woman. Those are the words that only a man's going to use. Only a man would threaten to murder a child.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm a mother, and ask all the other mothers that are listening to your program right now. I think that they understand. I don't care if they're progressive or liberal. Only a man would threaten to kill children to further his political point of view. Now, Phil, I am telling you this because I respect you and I respect your audience and I respect your program. While I disagree with the political point of view of this letter writer, we are reaching a crossroads. Parents are very, very frustrated. I myself am very frustrated.
Now, your son attends a public school, correct?
Yes, he does.
All right. And I know that he is a very good student. Is this a public school? Were you telling me it's a public school for...
It is a public school for advanced children, but this has got nothing really to do with what I'm talking about, because whether it is a public school for advanced children or a public school for the ones that are not as intelligent as my son is, it is still the public school system. Now, Phil, I was very, very frustrated on Monday night of last week. There was an assembled parent-teacher meeting at the school. This is, by the way, a week and a half before any of this happened in Texas. I got up at that meeting and I said to them, you have, through your conservative policy, and I can tell you, Phil, what is happening in our school system is not the liberal agenda that so many of these people love to prattle on about. There is no liberal agenda. What we have is the reading of the pledge, a U.S. military might, the teaching of Reaganomics, the teaching of America First nationalism, the teaching of the rightful place of American hegemony in the world. This is not a liberal agenda. Our children are being force-fed the current vogue Tea Party conservative agenda. Now, let me finish. I said in this meeting that I am personally so disgusted with this.
No, I got to interrupt you, okay?
Yes.
Here's a letter writer that says there's a liberal agenda. Here you are saying that there is a conservative agenda.
There is. Believe me, there's a conservative agenda. This individual that wrote this letter, I don't know where he's coming from. He's obviously disturbed, but I will say this again. He does reflect the frustration. This conservative agenda had me so upset that I got up in this meeting and I said to these people, I am so angry, I feel as if I need to do something physical.
You're kidding.
No, I am not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. And I said to these people that I am so angry and I am so in need of expressing this anger that, as God is my witness, while I am out driving this week, if I see a stray dog or a stray cat, I will aim my car for it. Because that's how angry I am. I feel like destroying life. But I'm not going to be as insane as this letter writer in Texas.
But you are saying to me, you understand this guy threatening the lives of children.
No, I do not. I understand the level of emotion. That's why I said to this meeting of teachers and parents, I would not hurt a child. I wouldn't hurt a human being. But by God, as God reigns in heaven, and I am an atheist as well, so for me to say that proves that I am very, very motivated. As God reigns in heaven, if this conservative agenda in our public schools continues, I will do something to eradicate this anger. And if that means I am running over strays. Now, Phil, I drive a Mercedes, a 600 series Mercedes. It is a significant automobile in terms of weight. I hit a German Shepherd with a car like that, and there's nothing left of it. But this is what has happened.
So, in other words, you're saying that the conservative agenda in the public schools is so vile to you and other parents that, and you are so cut out of the process that you have now lost your mind. And
No. Where did you get that?
Where did I get that? You're running over animals?
I'm not threatening the lives of children as this person in Texas, all right?
All right, no, that person's criminal, and that person should be found and strung up. But you're saying that you're going to run over dogs and cats.
I said that in a meeting of parents and teachers. I said it in full view of everyone. No, so don't try and change this into some, some fantasy that you have that I am that I've come unhinged. No, I have not. I am expressing the very same anger that parents all over your listening audience tonight feel. Across this country, We have thousands of Republican teachers bringing their personal conservative opinions into the classrooms and indoctrinating the students. It is an epidemic, and it is driving me to the point where I want to destroy animals. And I'm not alone.
Are there other people that want to run over dogs and cats?
Don't, Phil, please don't be asinine. I am very, very serious.
Well, you said that you're not alone.
I mean, people are acting out. Now, something has to be done.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let me give our phone number out. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray, the author of A Little Bird, told me. Did you put this in a column?
No, I did not put it in a column. I, as a matter of fact, Phil, I am saying this for the very first time. On your program tonight, I did not put it in a column. I didn't feel it was time, but I do feel now it's time to say this to your audience because I know they share my feeling. These conservative teachers and this Republican agenda that has been powered by the Tea Party and the John Boehner and all of this that's going on have driven most parents to such distraction that I wouldn't be surprised if there are other parents out there that are trying to find a way to deal with it. I am trying to deal with the destruction of our school system, Phil, the only way I know how.
And that is to aim for any stray dog and cat.
That is correct.
That's in front of your car and kill it.
And you know something, before you get all teary-eyed, why are those animals out on the street? They're supposed to be on a leash. All right.
Okay, so maybe they got out from the yard. And
yes, they got out from the yard. And because our children are being brainwashed by conservatives, they die. They die. They got out from the yard, and a woman who cares about the educational system of this country is coming down the street in a Mercedes-Benz, and she will kill. I'm not saying I'm proud of what I'm saying, Phil. I'm...
Well, I wouldn't be if I were you.
Well, you know something? You are very high. And I hear the teachers want to say that global warming isn't happening. They want to use a Shih Tzu as a speed bump. This is happening in our schools, and our parents are sick of it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. You know, global warming, this is going to be a discussion.
The discussion is over, Phil. The discussion is over.
There are people, okay, there is...
The discussion is over. It's over about global warming. God Almighty, do you want me to begin to use four-letter words? Is that what you want? Because that's how angry I am.
No, Margaret, I would much rather you use four-letter words than drive your car over dogs and cats.
All right. Then.
All right, we had to dump that. Did she do that? This is a very upset woman about what she sees as the brainwashing of American school children. Our number 877-876-PHIL, only she says they're being brainwashed along conservative lines, that there are thousands of Republican and conservative teachers brainwashing children. Ms. Gray went so far as to say that she's so angry she's going to hit stray dogs and cats with her Mercedes-Benz. This is the dialogue we're having in our country now, folks. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me from Santa Monica is Margaret Gray as we talk about... We're actually starting by talking... this story in Texas, it was in a city called Bay City, Texas, south of Houston, where an anonymous letter threatened children, threatened the lives of children, unless the Texas school district cracked down on bleeding-heart liberals. As the result of this letter threatening the lives of children, the school had to, I think the school closed its classes on Tuesday. The family of the school superintendent, Mr. Keith Brown, was threatened. The families of some of the teachers were threatened. And this is completely unacceptable. and is, and I can only hope that they find out who sent this letter. You know, I theorized the beginning of the show as a woman. I don't know who it is. But Ms. Gray, what you're saying is that this kind of anger you relate to, even though this person is complaining about liberals.
Of course we do, Phil, but I said it before, and I'm going to say it again, and I don't want this twisted. I do not want this twisted. I did not countenance the harming of children.
No, I know you didn't. You know, but you're talking about running over cats and dogs.
The idea that people are angry enough to lash out, that is what I'm trying to communicate here.
I think that that is ill, mentally ill.
What do you think is mentally ill?
That you want to lash out so much physically, you want to run over a cat or a dog.
Yes, Phil, you don't understand. The frustration is palpable. I am not talking about doing something that would harm human life. I'm talking about harming something that is not human, that has no intrinsic value. I know people love their pets, but if you're talking about running over and killing a stray, that is an animal that is not loved by its owner, otherwise it would have been on a leash. So the intrinsic value of the life involved, to wit, a stray dog or a stray cat, does not exist in that sense. So I do not have guilt when I see a stray animal, as I did last Friday, and Frank is here, and you know what I said, Frank?
He aimed for it.
I aimed for it.
Did you hit it?
I did not, no, but it was not because I wasn't trying. That's how angry I was.
Were you angry at the moment you tried to hit that animal?
I got angry when I saw the animal because it reminded me of what was going on in our school, yeah.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. By the way, your comment that that animal has no intrinsic value, that's interesting. I think there's a lot of pet owners that would disagree.
Oh, well, no doubt pet owners would disagree. I mean, pet owners think that their animals are equal to human beings. I mean, you're not going to get a rational conversation out of those people. No, I'm talking about people who are mentally stable. And I'm talking about people who understand that any animal allowed to run and romp down a street obviously does not have an owner that cares much for its life. And I think it affords me, an individual, very frustrated with the way our schools are going. Yes, it does afford me an opportunity to act out.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here in Chattanooga. Dan, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to let her know that I've got relatives and friends that are academia that are teachers, you know, that from universities all the way down to elementary school. And about 90% of them, about 90% of them admit that there is not hardly any conservatism whatsoever in the school system. It's all liberalism.
That's just not the case.
Yes, it is, lady. I mean, you're in Santa Monica, California.
No,
I'm talking about here on the, over here in the Midwest.
Don't you think in Tennessee it would be more conservative?
Let's listen to the gentleman.
Yes, I do understand how it works. I'm a retired teacher. So, yes, I do understand how it works. And because, one of the most devastating increments that are happening right now in the United States is the teachers' unions, because they dictate on their field.
Give me a break.
Let the man talk.
I'll tell you what. There ain't going to be no sense here. Keep interrupting.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. Right now, they are pulling out the Constitution, pulling the Declaration of Independence out of the school system. Matter of fact, I've got a granddaughter. I pulled out of school because one of the books that she was mandatory for her to read was My Two Mommies, things of this sort and this of this nature. And me, I've got a pretty level head. I mean, I understand how people are and how life evolves, and so does the system and social networks. So,
I don't believe that they've taken the Declaration of Independence out of the school.
I'll tell you what. I've got one last thing to say, then I'll let you have the floor.
You know, this is why I want to kill cats and dogs.
You want to run over a cat, that's up to you. But if you get caught, you probably get fined, go in jail for inhumanity. You know, let me just put it this way. If brains are made out of cotton, then you wouldn't have enough to Kotex a flea. Good night.
You are vile. Did you hear the vulgarity? Did you hear the vulgarity? That's what I'm pointing at now. Not the man, but the vulgarity. Did you hear it?
I heard you interrupting that man. And I heard that man saying he was a teacher. He was a man who was in the school system, and he said that it is very liberal.
Did you hear him reference Kotexes? Do you know what a Kotex is for? And when he said that to me, I have a heavy flow every month. And
I don't want to listen to that. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Back with Margaret Gray on the heavy conservatism in our school districts that she doesn't like.
Phil Hendry.
The vulgarity is what I'm referencing.
I'm listening to Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number. We're talking with Margaret Gray from the nationally syndicated column A Little Bird Told Me, syndicated by Dicklin Syndicate. Now, you had a number of things. You're talking about the anger happening between parents and school districts and teachers, and, you know, and the anger going back and forth that the children are not being educated properly or that the teachers are not being allowed to. And you had a number of things that you say are the result of a conservative, the conservatives taking over the school districts.
Well, Phil, let's start out with the most glaring example of how these conservatives and their continual meddling and placing agenda into the education of our children has eroded our educational system. Let's start with school busing, which was a favorite of conservatives. They tried to say it was a liberal idea. It was not a liberal idea. These were conservatives that decided to take African-American children and bus them into hostile white areas where the children, my God, you talk about threatening the lives of children. These conservatives knew very well that they would be busing children right into the bowels of pure white bread America.
Boy, you know, what you're saying, I was in my 20s during school busing. I remember that. I sure don't remember that being a conservative idea.
Hold on for a minute. Let me give you another example. The very idea that we would not only take Huckleberry Finn out of our libraries, but that someone would sit down and actually try to rewrite it so that the words are taken out of that sacred book written by Mark Twain. Once again, we have conservatives who are so arrogant that they're going to rewrite Mark Twain? My God. Oh! And then finally, the removal of Brave New World from a Seattle, Washington public library. I thought Seattle was a progressive city. I see not now. Conservatives were able to worm their way into the Seattle library system like tapeworm. Like the disgusting tapeworm that if you've ever had a pet, you find those in...
I understand what a tapeworm is, yes. Okay?
All right. That the conservatives got Aldous Huxley's Brave New World ripped out of the public library system of Seattle. Not taken out, but ripped out as if you would rip the tongue out of a torture victim. This is what is going on. And now do you understand why it is when I drive down a street and I see a cat or a dog out of a yard, my thinking is, there but for the grace of God go I, and I floor it. I do.
I think it is very disturbing.
What is disturbing?
The idea of the taking of any life, or the damaging of any life, because we're angry about a political point of view. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL is our number, as Margaret Gray is talking about what she sees as the conservative agenda in our schools. And there was a letter writer in Texas who threatened to kill children if the bleeding heart liberals didn't crack down on discipline. Let's go to a phone call. Chris in Bakersfield. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Chris, go ahead, please.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, sir.
Yeah, I just have a question for the lady. You seem to think that this is a conservative. These are conservative people that are making these decisions to send people to, or color people to white schools, as you call it.
What do you mean colored? What do you mean colored people? What is a colored person?
Minority. Why do you think?
Are you talking about black people? We haven't used the term colored in a long time. You know that.
The gentleman knows that. So you're talking about black people.
Black children. Yes.
Well, children are people too. So why do you think that it's conservative? What do you know about the conservative mind frame? What do you know about being conservative?
What do you know about it? I was around then. I saw it happening. And I saw these conservatives sending these black children as if they were almost pieces of paper, throwing them into a flaming barbecue.
So a barbecue.
Are you here to learn? Is that what you want? I would suggest you hang up and listen. Because you're sort of sitting there with your jaw hanging open and you don't really have much to say.
Well, you let the gentleman ask a question.
If you could just be quiet for just a second. I want to learn why it is that you feel that hurting an animal, for another kid, would actually help.
So in other words, you have another question. Is that it? Now it has to do with that? I am angry with the way conservatives have twisted our educational system to the point now where our children are being taught American militarism, America firstism, the hegemony of American foreign policy, the Pledge of Allegiance, which is fine, but insisting that under God be in it. All of this is a part of a conservative agenda that has made me so angry, and no one will hear me at a school board meeting. So what choice do I have?
Okay,
I'm glad that I was able to help you with your understanding of life.
Yeah, thank you for that. But I have two kids in school also, and I got
to
say,
you went to Citrus School.
The curriculum that they bring home is a normal curriculum. There doesn't seem to be anything offensive in it. So what exactly?
Well, you're in the minority. You're in the minority then. You're in the minority because I don't know where you've been, but all over America, people are on the move. People are marching and they're on the move.
All right, Chris, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL is the number here, 877-876-PHIL. So where does this leave us now? You know what I mean? Where does this leave us in terms of parents and teachers getting it together?
Well, what do you mean parents and teachers getting it together? I don't...
Well, you're saying that there is so much anger now between parents and teachers and school districts and teachers,
Well, I just got done telling you that the conservative movement in this country wants to rip Huck Finn and Brave New World out of our library system as if they are yanking the tongue out of an Abu Ghraib detainee. Now,
well, why do you say these things, these inflammatory things?
Because I am tired of the recreation of the American story in the conservative term. John Boehner may be sworn in as Speaker of the House. I don't care. But, Phil, when I see my son come home from school and he says to me, Mom, is it true that black children were bussed into white areas? How dare those conservatives? I get angry. And I go out and I get in my car and I drive the streets. And
why are you getting, why are you getting so angry?
Oh, God, are you tired? God, are you tired, Frank?
Hey, young man, how are you?
Frank, is that you?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm better than Custer. Look, he is angry, and the reason why he's angry is because, you know, he's always had a liberal.
And I need to step down for... Hold on for a minute, Frank, okay?
What's that?
Hold on for a minute. I got to tell my audience something.
You know, every time I get on the phone with you, you got to tell your audience something, you know, and same thing with him.
Hold on, will you?
All right, I'm holding on.
Mr. Gray has what is called gender confusion as the result of a untreated venereal disease. Okay, Frank, so Margaret is upset. Do you think she's going overboard? Have you seen her kill a dog or a cat?
I saw him do it. I saw him aim for one. I think he mentioned to you that he aimed for one last week and almost. And it was a German Shepherd. And I remember him saying, and as you just heard him say, he said, "There, but for the grace of God, go you." He pointed at me, and I thought that was offensive because, let's face it, he's my wife, and I love him very much. But for him to say, "There, but for the grace of God, go you," meaning that I could have been the German Shepherd. You understand what I'm saying?
Not really, no.
but what am I not making clear?
What do you mean that you're out driving with her and she says, there but for the grace of God, go you? She said, go I.
Then he said, go I. But at first he said, there's a German Shepherd, and that could very well be you. But there but for the grace of God, go you, I have a dog I can hit. You see the thing? So in other words,
So she said that. Did she hit the dog?
No, I told you. This will be the ninth time I've told you. He didn't hit the dog. But what he did say was, there but for the grace of God go you, and there but for the grace of God go I. And then he hit the accelerator. And that was the hesitation, and I thank the Almighty that he didn't hit the dog, but that was the hesitation that kept him from hitting the dog when he was doing this recitation of there but for the grace of God, this nonsense. And by the time he turned back and saw the dog and hit the accelerator, the dog was well into the backyard it was squatting. It looked like it was peeling one off.
All right, Frank, thank you very much, pal.
Well, all right. Well, you know something? You stay on the horn with him, but me, you give short shrift to, don't you?
All right, thank you very much. I can only say, as I speak to all of you, that our emotions have taken over, and we need to get them in check, especially when it comes to our kids. And I don't know what you want to call it, the demonstration of emotionalism in the face of all this, it scares our children. They don't like to see adults out of control. They don't like to see adults screaming and yelling and acting like animals. You know, there have been... What, Bud?
Mr. Hall.
Who?
Mr. Hall.
Yeah, David.
Are you done? Because I enjoyed it very much. I like listening to Margaret. I like Frank, but now are you going to give a speech?
I'm wrapping up the segment.
Yeah, so wrap it up, will you? I thought that you did very good. It was a very good segment, and now you're giving some. And so, you know, and this and that. What is this, victory at sea? Just wrap it up.
Well, you hung up on him.
I know I hung up on him. 877-876-PHIL. Still to come tonight, the News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. No, in all seriousness, I wanted to just conclude by saying that when the adults are screaming at each other about education and about what is it again?
Yeah, well, you just want to talk to you.
All right. When the adults are screaming at each other about, yeah, David.
Look, I asked you not to give a speech.
I wanted to just wrap up.
You want to wrap up? There's a guy that... And let me tell you a story, okay?
Is this my show?
Yes, it's your show, but you already did the whole speech about it running over dogs. Get to the Biggest Loser. Which I didn't want to make a joke, but I guess that's you, huh?
Let me tell you something. I was trying to wrap up that segment, and you're jumping in and telling me, you know, don't give a speech.
I want to tell you a story, seriously. Just 5 seconds. They found a guy under a freeway on-ramp. Did you hear about it?
The homeless guy.
Yeah, the guy named Ted Williams. Do you know that guy's a phone call away? I would love to put him in.
You okay.
Yeah, no, I know. I hung up on him. Yeah, thanks. Biggest Loser contestant Arthur Warnham is most obese ever at 507 pounds and 77.1 BMI. What is that? Body mass index? Body fat index, I guess? This is the story coming to us from Hollywood, Body Mass Index, which I guess means body fat. Just when you thought Biggest Loser couldn't get any bigger, Arthur Warnham showed up in season number 11. He's not technically the heaviest contestant in the history of the show. It says that he's the most obese, though. I think they mean by obese the highest body mass index. At 507 pounds and 5 foot 8 inches, his BMI, a BMI over 30, is considered obese, making him the most obese contestant the show's ever seen. According to the Los Angeles Times, the 34-year-old stay-at-home dad's body fat The body fat ratio dwarfs that of season 9 winner Michael Ventrella, who was the heaviest contestant in the show's history at 526 pounds, 6 foot tall. This guy's 507 and 5 foot 8. How does this guy stay alive?
Well, he's like a Samoan or something.
Yeah. A Samoan? Is that what difference does that make?
I think they got a history of like, well, yeah, drinking coconut milk and everything. It's probably got no fat in it.
If it ain't got no fat in it, and he's Samoan, how come he's so fat?
Well, they got a lot of fat Samoan. Do you ever watch football?
I watch football, man, yeah. Samoan, that's not necessarily fat. There's a lot of muscle going on there. Anyway, Jason just wrote that his stomach hangs to his knees when he's shirtless, and apparently Jason doesn't understand the fact that I've got a picture of the guy right here, shirtless, and his stomach is not hanging to his knees. So thanks for that useless information there, Jason.
Yeah, nice going, Chase. Yeah, way to go.
Hey. All right, Biggest Loser. In last night's episode of The Biggest Loser, get this thing out of my face, will you? Here is last night's episode of The Biggest Loser. Trainer Bob and Jillian deal with Arthur, who's got a big fat gut on him.
Don't lay down, Arthur. Don't do it. Don't do it. Resist. Of course you want to lay down. You weigh over 500 pounds. Stand up.
Let me stick 500 pounds in you guys.
Get up, Arthur. Get up.
What the hell's he doing?
Arthur, look at me. Look at me.
What is he doing?
Do I look like a woman that gives
No, you don't.
Then get up.
This workout, it's a reminder that this is the shape I put myself in. This is the damage I've done to my body. And it's painful, not only physically, but, mentally, too.
I need something for my leg, man.
Yeah, I'm going to give you something for your leg. It's called the treadmill. Enjoy.
Stop.
Oh!
Oh. Arthur!
Fell on his ass?
Nothing happened. He just stood up and then purposely fell down.
Big fat tub of gut fell down and everything like that.
And I know these trainers, these two people, that's their métier, isn't it? I mean, they...
What do you mean they're meat?
I didn't say meat, did I? Did I say meat?
You said it in French.
No, I did not say it in French. I said métier, meaning their method, okay? Or how they do things. I said it in French.
Well, it sounded like you said meat in French.
Just because I said métier, why does that got to be meat?
Because that is meat.
No, it's not. It's a French word. So the fact that, God, look, you guys got me flipping my lid here.
Yeah, you shouldn't say stuff sound like meat. Want to put our métier in your mouth.
I'm going to belt somebody in about 5 seconds, put our métier. In any event, this guy, I've heard these trainers, these two people, and they're like the Simon Cowell of fat people. Eh? They just rip into these guys. It's very entertaining, and apparently this fat ass fell down on the... Excuse me for... I shouldn't laugh, because I'm not, too far behind some of these cats. Apparently he fell down on the treadmill, man. He's lost 140 pounds on his own, according to the NBC website, although you can't really believe them, because it's the network website, and they'll lie to keep you watching. I'm kidding, but who knows? Warnham gained 200 pounds when he lost his insurance agency in 2000. Wow. Tough break, huh?
How come? I don't understand that. He lost his business.
He lost his business and started eating to calm the anxiety.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? A lot of people eat to calm their anxiety, especially if they don't smoke cigarettes or drink. They use food.
Oh.
So he then added another 100 pounds after his son was born.
That bothered him too, huh?
His son being born, I don't think it bothered him, but he probably was upset that he'd lost his job.
Well, that's 7 years later, man. The guy ain't got a job yet.
I don't know, man. He put on some weight when his son was born.
Yeah, it must have been just as traumatic as him losing an insurance agency and everything. Plus, what's he doing with an insurance agency and a fat tub of gut? People going to come in there, buy insurance from him. They think he died, he's going to be dead.
Next time, speak English, okay?
I understood it.
Well, good for you. I didn't. What are you talking about?
I mean, if the guy's got an insurance agency, then he should look like he's going to be alive from one day to the next in case someone want to collect.
You know what? You can collect on your insurance policy even if the dude is dead that owns the agency. God. In any event, with high blood pressure and diabetes, wow. Warnham claimed he had trouble with his leg in the premiere episode as he stepped on the treadmill, and you just heard that, though not to his trainers. He said, I need something for my leg, man. in an alleged attempt to run 5 kilometers. And Jillian Michael just heard her. I'm going to give you something for your leg. It's called a treadmill. Enjoy. Now, the Portland, Oregon dad then complained that he couldn't move his leg and proceeded to fall down on the ground with a thud. Trainer Bob Harper then mock stepped on his stomach. You need to lose some of this weight so you can prove your body, so you can move your body around. The NBC show offers $250,000 to the contestant who loses the largest percentage of body weight at the end of the season. Biggest Loser airs at 8 p.m. How about that?
I don't know, man. One of these people die or something like that.
Oh, they believe you me when I tell you they sign more releases. They sign more stuff, man. I mean, there's more drug-sniffing dogs, more cops, more helicopters than you'll see in your wildest hallucinations, okay?
But, I mean, if the guy dies, then what happens about the contest and everything?
Then he dies. You know, first of all, they're not going to let these guys on that show unless they've gone through some kind of a physical that says that they can possibly go through that.
Well, wait a minute, man. What physical are they going to go through? They're going to pass it.
I don't know, but it can't possibly be any physical that, you know, it's not a physical you're going to get from the Green Beret, but it has to be something that tests their ability to at least withstand the kind of dieting and training they're going to be put through, you know. Otherwise, NBC's looking at lawsuit after lawsuit, or maybe they don't go through anything. I don't know.
If it said the guy's married and everything, you had his wife, you got to climb that. God.
Take it easy. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, our news hour, with more of these two jackasses. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You about done with your speech?